Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 299 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strahlers. And with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
What I was going to say originally is welcome to episode X minus one, where X equals 300, and let everybody do the math. little function joke there, if you will. I don't know what made me think of that with mathematics. I love math.
Because you're a math brain. You're like a walking... I am. Like a walking chalkboard over there.
Dude, that's one thing. When life is getting you down, you can always count on numbers.
Yeah, to realize how shitty everything really is.
There we go. I was like, oh, I can't believe he's got it now. I wasn't even setting that up. That just worked out. I don't know why. So there's something about math, man. I like math. So speaking of math, what made me think about that is there's this social media platform called Mastodon. I don't know if you're familiar with it,
but it's for the band.
It's really like this open source multi-server thing. And it's like the weirdest combination of Discord, Twitter. Anyway, regardless, because a lot of people are migrating to that because, you know, let's face it, Twitter has always been Twitter, but now it's extra Twittery.
Oh, it's never Twittered more than it's Twittering right now.
And so, you know, I like to secure my at on there. Of course, I never should have said that because now anybody who hates me who listens to this podcast is going to be heading to every possible, you know what, go ahead.
God, I love the hate listeners. That's my favorite. If you're out there, like, I really hope you're just like listening. I'm just like, these fucking pieces of shit. Like,
yeah.
Apple's good.
Yeah. And what's weird about that, man, is that, never mind. I don't think that I'm great by any stretch of the imagination. No,
I'm horrible. Yeah.
But I do think that I'm pretty benign most of the time.
Yeah.
I try to be pretty kind and understanding and stand up for what I think is right, but not impress my beliefs upon people that they must follow what I believe. It's more about, you need to do what I do. That's not what it's about. It's like, you need to not be a butthole to other people.
Yeah.
That's my kind of the extent of my fiery opinions. But regardless, but one of them was like a mathematics server. And I thought, oh, I should just join that one.
Oh, finally push up your glasses a whole bunch. That'd be great. Yes. Get your calculators ready, boys.
Yeah. All right. Slide rules out. It's an abacus on your phone.
Get out the phone-bacus.
Get out. So yeah, man, Twitter's been a whole thing, and that's where. Listen, first of all, listeners, I want to assure you, we are not going to go into a 30-minute long diatribe about this.
It's really funny, honestly, is
that Twitter is where I've connected with most of my Star Wars friends.
Yeah.
That's where the fandom's been. That's where I connect with them. And boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
One of my friends, good on you. It's like, yeah, I deleted my Twitter today. Never been happier. I can see that.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah. And that sucks because you're right. We have met so many friends and you guys, you listen to us and like people we met in public in person or whatever. We love you. There's nothing against you at all. It's just, it's not even our little corners of Star Wars Twitter. It's just Twitter itself has become this really like wretched hive. Really, it's
a cesspool is what it is.
Well, like this, like I don't know how, I don't know if you've been on Twitter much recently, but all I see are Elon Musk tweets now, like from his account. Like, and I understand people are doing the phony versions. I don't mean that. I mean that from at Elon Musk, that one. Like, I'm like, are you really pushing out your tweets because you own this thing now. And like it's such the biggest, I want to be the best thing about Twitter move ever. It's so weird. It's so weird. And you got to spend $44 billion to do it. And you know, it's going to fail eventually. It's just, I don't know. It's so weird. Like he spent $30 billion of his own personal wealth to do this.
Well, when you're him, that's nothing really.
I mean, he's not the richest person in the world anymore.
Well, I don't know when this Twitter stock really rises.
Oh yeah, when loaded. From those $8 subscription fees.
That's a whole scene too. I, well, you know, there goes the whole point of the check mark.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, well, now anybody can get one. Is there still a process associated with it to actually verify the account, or are you just buying a blue check mark? How does that work?
Yeah, because you got to think it'd be so easy if you could just do it whenever you have $8 to have a verified account, make an account, and zero followers and make an account. Like, that's just, you think trolls won't pay $8 to have a verified account to fuck with people? If that's all it is, that's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's completely, like, I never gave a shit about ever trying to get verified anyway. Just never been something I cared about.
Nobody cares about me enough to care. Yeah. Who cares?
I don't have any kind of need or desire to get to garner that much attention ever. No, thank you. I don't need thousands of people or hundreds of thousands or millions of people follow me because they care about something I care and I get a little check mark. Like, who cares? I don't care. But like, this just makes it a joke completely. It was already kind of dumb, but now it's like, and I get why they do it, but it's still kind of dumb. Now it's just pointless.
Well, what you're doing is you're taking the people with the most followers that plainly are driving traffic to your platform and charging them.
Yeah.
To bring those people to your platform.
Yeah.
Mistake. Anyhow.
That's what Stephen King said. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
He was like, me pay you $8, but you should be paying me.
Yeah.
He's like, it's not because it's $8. It's because it's the principle of the fact that, like, there's how many people are following me? Come on now.
Well, and it's funny, too, because people were replying, like, one of them was take the L and just pay the $8. It's like, oh, yeah, I really lost out. Late. Because I can't live without this. It's like a public utility. Got to have internet. Got to have Twitter. Yeah. Anyhow, screw you, Twitters. It's been pretty wild, man. I gotta mention something. I would be remiss if I didn't. Was it last Monday that we were playing Fortnite with Hawes and Will, or was that the Monday before that?
It might have been the Monday before.
Time has no meaning now. Yeah. We finished up recording and played some Fortnite with our buddies Hawes and Will of the Blue Harvest podcast. Yeah.
It was a good time, we thought.
I was listening to High Potion podcast with our buddies Hawes and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And this was last week's episode, but I just caught it today. And he was talking about playing Fortnite with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, anytime he mentions the bad motivators, there's definitely disdain in his voice.
But there's definitely a tone. There's definitely a tone. I mean, when he says my name, he says that dastardly Luke Cruiser.
Yeah. But so then Crowthy asks, how'd Struthers do? Yeah. Awful is what Hawes said. I'm like, how dare you, sir? I wasn't that bad.
No, I mean, you stayed up with us.
I didn't die before anybody else.
No, you were with the team. That's what really matters. Mm-hmm. You could be there in a gunfight and get some shots into them. That's really all really matters.
Yeah, but anyhow, man, I in theory love those guys.
In theory, yeah.
Yeah. Blue Harvest is probably the best Star Wars podcast out there. And High Potion, I love that show. So if you're not listening to it, be sure to check it out.
Yeah.
And speaking of High Potion and Steve Crowthy and of Hawes, there are shows on the Bad Motivators Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/thebadmotivators that have those guys in them.
Oh, yeah.
And good times. As a matter of fact, this last episode of That's Metal was an interview with Steve Crowthy, which was pretty cool. But this week, I put out an episode that broke down the multi-track recording I did of the cover of the Bluey theme song that is the theme for my dinner at the Healers nice. Podcast. And it was a really cool explanation. I had a ton of fun doing it. So I would like turn off all the tracks and just play a part of just the bass guitar. And then, so, well, here's what happened with the rhythm guitars and here's how I mixed them and here's how I panned them and blah, blah, blah. It was really neat, man. Let's go check that out. Cruiser's got some cool stuff going on over there too, Cruiser. Why don't you tell them what you got happening over there?
Well, I just finished up my, my watch and tell about, Game of Thrones and, Lord of the Rings. Game of Thrones one released last week about the season finale. And there's a certain scene in that show that I saw it the first time. I was like, well, I never need to watch that again. And then I decided I was going to do a watch and talk about it as I was doing a podcast and video. I put a video of it up. But there's a certain scene involving like, kids and birth. It's not good. And so you watched the video, you can see me panic, like fast forward, like, nope, I'm not watching it. Just fast forward.
Yeah.
I'm like, did you have to go this crazy? Like, you could have just shown, yes, she's having like birthing problems and then it's over. And then, you know, something, you know, you don't have to be so descriptive. It was terrible, but yeah, I've skipped past, but it was a good time going through it. I had a lot of fun, making fun of some of the characters and stuff while I did it. And it was just good times. So,
well, while we're talking about Fortnite, why don't we do this noise right here? Oh yeah. That Zill bell at the end, bing, is so good. I played with a drummer who had one of those. It's shaped like a cymbal. It's called a Zill bell. And I don't know if it's made by Zildjian and that's why it's called the Zill bell. I don't know. But it's brass, but it's thick. I mean, thick. Yeah. But it's shaped like a regular cymbal with a bell. Like the bell is the risen part in the middle of a cymbal where the attachment point is. And you would hit it and that's what it would do. Bing! And go that's forever. Crazy.
I have a really quick drum question. Let me go right into who got what here. The hi-hat, right? Whenever there's a certain sound you can get out of it where like it starts to ring and you're closing it at the same time. Mm-hmm. What's that called? You know?
Oh, geez. You know what? I'm not sure.
But you know what sound I'm talking about? It's a very specific, like, depending on how you have it set up, how long that lasts, and whatever.
How floppy is your top hat, and you get the sound. Yeah.
Weird. Why is that sound so satisfying? That's a good question.
Well, I think part of it is the finality of when you finally close it. Snap.
Yeah.
That is a cool sound. And
Ringo Starr was like especially good at that. Like there's a lot of these like Beatles songs I've listened to, and he just has this like even on the song Oh Darling, from on Abbey Road, the drums have always been like so pushed far back in a lot of the Beatles songs, you know. Uh-huh. And that's by design, obviously, but like also with the recording methods and whatever else. But like they did an isolated drum track of Ringo Starr doing that. The drum part to Oh Darling, which I never thought anything about until I heard this. He's like going at it hard in parts of the song, like really cool fills and stuff. And but he has this like this the steady beat of it is just boom, you know. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. But then he'll have this amazing sounding hi hat sound. It's just the perfect version of that sound. I can't explain it, but it's been stuck in my head for like weeks. I why am I fascinated with the sound so much? It must be just like it almost like it has like a sensory quality to it. It's weird.
It does. Yeah, I'm sure there's some aspect of that.
Yeah, like it has like a texture to it almost in sound.
I was just Googling it while you told that super boring story. And
Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
I think that I saw somewhere they refer to it as a bark, like barking the hi-hat. But I don't know, man.
Did you get anything, though? That's more important.
I did.
Okay.
I did get something. And that was way too many dollars worth of Fortnite Star Wars skins.
Oh, no.
I swore that I wouldn't do it. I'm not spending any money on this game because that's stupid. But then I got in there and I'm like, God dang, man, that Luke Skywalker's neat. And if you buy it with the Han Solo and Leia instead of buying them a la carte, you save all this money. God,
It's the throwing away money thing.
So I bought the V-Bucks, get this. And then I see, oh, well, hot damn, they got Fennec Shand and the Stormtrooper and the Sith Trooper.
Boba Fett, Rey, Kylo Ren.
So the next thing you know, I'm $60 in the hole. I didn't get Kylo Ren. I didn't get Black Kersantan, which, and I didn't get the original trilogy Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Because I drew the line. I'm like, I am not spending any more money than this. This was dumb. And it admittedly was dumb. And you're thinking, well, does buy these skins help you play better? The answer is a firm no. And I'll tell you how I know, because right before we recorded, I'm like, man, I spent this money on Fortnite. I better play it, because I never play Fortnite. Ever since I started doing it, I've maybe put 4 hours total into the game. I'm like level 20.
Yeah.
And I was doing pretty good. And then some butthole in the default shorts and t-shirt skin that you get for free killed me to death. And then I watched as he took all my stuff and ran off.
That like, should be allowed. You know what I mean? Like, there should be some kind of leeway, at least for the first time you play a game after you buy a skin. You should get those guys should not be able to kill you. You
know, like a mean? Buff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I did. I, you know, after I first bought him, I did all right. But yeah.
That magic wears off quick.
Stupid game, man. I hate it.
But what I like about it is, even though there's a bunch of nonsense, it's still kind of a no nonsense shooter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's low stakes. It's not like it hurts you to lose, except just the annoyance of it.
Of having to restart. That's the worst part about Battle Royales, is the long restart period.
Yeah, but the graphics are great. The motion's really down. It's fun. It's hokey. And it's quote-unquote free-to-play.
Yeah.
But the mechanics of it are great. If you like a third-person shooter, it's pretty cool. And you're playing against other people. It's cross-platform. You know, you're going to get some buttholes, so just don't turn on the game chat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Leave that shit off always.
Yeah, do not do that. I played with some friends of mine, a buddy of mine from high school. I haven't seen him in forever. We didn't really hang out much in high school. We're better friends now than we ever were when we were young. But he's a fan of the show, and so is him and his son, who's an adult, and one of his son's friends, and they were like so much better than me. And since it's skill-based matchmaking, we were in their lobbies where everybody's real high level, and then there's me. I was like level 18 on that day.
You should have hosted.
I'm like, pew, pew, pew.
You should have hosted.
That's well, and we said that later. It's like, oh, here's what we should have done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, so Matt and I, being the old ones, are like, we need to go to bed later, kids.
Later. Yeah. Nighttime.
But anyhow, yeah. That's what I got, is a whole bunch of Star Wars Fortnite skins, and they do look dang good, man.
They do look cool, and the thing is unlike action figures, like, you actually will get to play with them.
True. Yeah. That is true.
I too bought a Sky. I only bought the Luke Skywalker one though. That's the only one I got, because it has the three alternate outfits and stuff, and so I got that. I did, however, yesterday go to a live podcast, which something I had never done before. I don't think I even went to any podcast on the podcast stage, except for Steel Wars. And Steel's show wasn't really, I wouldn't call Steel's show at Celebration really a, it's a podcast, but it doesn't really feel like one. You know what I mean?
It's a comedy show that you're recording.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just a good time, you know? But this is like my favorite podcast to listen to is called The Dollop. I'm sure a lot of you know who or what that is. Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds, they do a history podcast. It's comedy, and one of them writes a story and researches about it, and the other one has no idea what the topic is about, and he ad libs off of it. It's just really fun, good stuff. Especially if you like, you know, improvisational work. I think it's pretty. I like when people can really like make things click quickly like that. It's cool. Uh-huh. Because it shows you got a really sharp mind, you know. But anyways, so I went and saw them live, and they did a story about body snatchers in the late 1800s and early 1900s in Indianapolis. And it was an interesting story that I never even heard or really thought about, like, or what that was the thing. And it basically is people just stealing bodies to be used for like experiments, they needed cadavers.
Uh-huh.
And so these criminals would steal them, and then these medical facilities would buy them from them and stuff like that. You know, it got so bad that they were emptying out cemeteries. That's how bad it got. And like they had all these different ways of getting them out. Like they got so efficient and so used to doing it that they no longer dug up the whole casket. They would just dig up one side and like bust it open and put chains around their arms and pull them out through.
Jeez,
like, yeah, crazy what people would do, man. But it was cool though, and I'm glad I did it. And those guys are cool. But I will say, and you know how we were talking earlier about like verification and like the adulation of like thousands of people is not. I was saying how it's not my thing. It would be weird for me. And, you know, it's weird for me that the amount of people that listen to this podcast every week, I don't have to see them all in an auditorium. So it's a lot easier to go about it, you know? So like, but they had a Q&A thing at the end for people, like, cause like we bought tickets that were close to the front. So uh-huh. I think the first three rows got to stay for the Q&A, and it was weird being amongst some of the super fans.
Because
you know, God bless them, but like I have a hard time having such idolization for anybody. Like really, uh-huh. like you know what I mean? To the point where like you're. It was almost all these people feel like they know Dave and Gareth personally because mm-hmm. they've listened to all their, and they have over 500 episodes and shit like that. And they've gone back and listened to them over and over again. And so they feel like they can just talk to him a certain way. And it's really weird. And they like look for him for like political advice and stuff. And it's so weird. It was uncomfortable for me because uh-huh. And it's not because I was jealous that they have people that like them or anything like that. It's just like I didn't like being a part of such groveling. It was weird.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
So
because they're just two dudes. You know what I mean? Like we're all just people at the end of the day. And I understand being starstruck, but that's not quite what this was. You know,
it's weird when you feel like you know somebody because you listen to their show. And I get it, man.
Yeah.
And what's weird, like there's a weird blurred line because of a lot of our friends who do podcasts. I do know them personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then when it's a different podcast and I'm like, hey, they're like, and it is a different dynamic. And that is something that happens, that level of familiarity. Yeah. And the phrase familiarity breeds contempt, but it also breeds several other things.
Yeah.
But just at church, right? I'm on stage all the time. And it's not nearly as bad now, but it used to be where like everybody thought they knew me. They'd want to pick up my kids whenever they would, you know, see them in the foyer and stuff. And I'm like, you've lost your mind. But one day I had a guy, and I mean, listen, I'm sure he meant well. He's just trying to be funny. And why I've been super guilty of going in way too hard on a joke with somebody that I felt like I knew better than I probably did.
Oh, yeah.
But he says to me, I'm wearing glasses now. And I had recently started wearing glasses at the time. I didn't have to get glasses until I was in my 40s.
By the way, buddy, you look good in glasses. So
thanks,
not,
man.
So it's not.
I need different frames, so I like how I look better without them. I need to go to contacts. But anyway, he says right in front of all these people, I'm at the edge of the stage. He's up there talking to somebody, and he's talking to me, and he goes, "Boy, somebody's really showing his age."
And
and because of the glasses, and I flat out said, and he didn't know what to do with this. It's kind of like my whole, what makes you think it's okay to talk to me like that thing. Mm. But I said, I don't think you know me well enough to be making cracks like that. And he was so uncomfortable.
Oh, I love it.
And it's like, listen, if you expect me to feel bad for 1 second that, when I, that was so not cool.
Yeah.
I remember, I remember another friend of mine from church. She and her husband were good friends of mine. And she was telling me a story about another person going, man, I thought Eric was a lot younger than he is, but when you get up close to him, you can really tell.
Oh my God.
And he turns to her and he's like, what is wrong with you?
Oh, fuck.
Why are you telling him this? And she goes, because just think about how old I must look then, because I'm older than he is. And he's like, yeah, good save. But yeah, anyway.
What a double douche.
Yeah, like, man. I'm like, how dare you, man?
And then you like that sounds like projecting is what's on his wife.
Oh yeah. I feel like that was a way of just wanting to stick it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I never want to like I like to joke with my friends, you know what I mean? And I mean, in dudes in general, it's a big thing, right? We bust each other's balls. It's just part of it, right? And, but like, there's certain levels of jokes that I think you can do with most people. You know what I mean? Even people you don't know. But like, if I'm an acquaintance of yours and you come and say, man, you look old, I'm going to be like, fuck off. Mm-hmm. That's I mean, like, who cares? Fuck you.
My mom used to tell me, you look so tired.
Yeah.
All right. You look lonely. You know, how do you like them apples? But so here's a funny one for you, man. One thing I should mention is that my streak of Star Wars shirts has been broken. Well, informally broken, because like, today I wore a Star Wars shirt. Yesterday I did not wear a Star Wars shirt, but my pajama shirt was a Star Wars shirt. So I had a Star Wars shirt on for hours at another time. But I was wearing the Bluey shirt that my kids got me for my birthday. And it says, Best Dad Ever. And my buddy Lucas, who was on an episode of That's Metal, he was also on an episode of Steel Wars when it was Force Friday for The Last Jedi and he won that giant ass porg. Right. He was, but anyway, that's him. We are very close. He's one of my best friends in the world, and our kids are very close. And his daughter, his oldest daughter, and my daughter are very close in age and very good friends.
Yeah.
Well, the younger daughter had her birthday party. We go to their house, and she's like, oh, the older daughter, so she's like 10, wants to look at my shirt. And she takes one look, and it says, best dad ever, right? She goes, oh. It should say worst, and then just walks off. She torched me, man. And I was like, I'm going to start wearing Star Wars shirts again. They hurt my feelings a lot less. Yeah. It should say worst.
Oh man.
And I got to admit, it was funny. And I looked at her, and she was Lucas in that moment. I want to be like, screw you, Lucas.
This is what you get for being friends with too many people with the first name Lucas.
I hate them all. I mean, you know, I tolerate them, but that's just about it.
Oh, we just like making Eric's miserable. That's what we do.
I bring one of them to celebration with me and meet another one of them at celebration there and stay in a house with two of them while the other one's at home making fun of the amount of podcasts I didn't put out after swearing I was going to put one out every day. I'm like, everybody named Lucas can suck it. First name, last name's fine, George Lucas. You can do whatever you want. You can walk on me, but these Lucases could just beat it. Hate them.
You can walk on me.
Yeah. But hey, listen.
Thank you, the creator.
While we're talking about things that George Lucas invented, let's talk about some Star Wars. And real quick, before we jump into a blazing episode of Andor,
woo,
we're going to talk about the news of like all the casting for The Acolyte. And the synopsis was released. And Cruiser, tell me what that said in your own words.
Well, I didn't read the whole synopsis, but basically it was just a mystery. They say it's going to be described as a mystery thriller. So, I mean,
that is
that's all, that's all I really need to know, to be honest with you.
And when you look at the cast,
yeah.
Oh, okay. There's not a generic white person among them as far as like everybody's got sharp angular features and stuff. And
no, it looks really cool.
Lots of representation there. It's really cool. And they added Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah.
If you don't know who that is, go watch The Matrix. She's Trinity.
Yeah, she's
and I think she's cool as can be.
Dude, that first that I love her as Trinity, number one. But two, when I mean I don't she did things to a lot of people my age in that first movie. It was not right. All that tight latex, and I'm like 10. It's not right.
Yeah.
Actually, that was 99. I had been 13, so it was extra not good.
Jeez.
You know, 13's a bad age for is a rough age for a young man.
I really wish we hadn't started talking about this.
Why? Because it's me this time instead of you?
Possibly, yes. That's, you know, are you familiar with the show Growing Pains? The sitcom had
is it the one that's based in Indiana?
Oh, I don't remember where they
live. Like the story.
Kirk Cameron is the son. Mm. Alan Thicke is the dad.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. From the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And one of his friends' names is Boner. And I could not fathom who thought that was a good idea. To have a teenage kid named Boner.
Yeah.
That everybody called him that. The parents called him Boner. And I thought... What?
That was in a movie too. Where there was like it was actually the guy that is it Ben Schwartzman? Is that who plays John Ralphio? Something like that? The guy I can't remember the actor name. It's Ben something. But he was like a rabbi in this movie or something.
Uh-huh.
And Adam Driver was in it, whatever. I mean, he and Adam Driver were the same age, and when he was a kid he called him everybody called him Boner. Uh-huh. And they were still like, oh, what's up, Boner? He's like, you can't call me Boner now. I'm a fucking rabbi. You can't do this.
Ben Schwartz is who he
yeah,
is.
Ben, yeah, Ben Schwartz, yeah. But like even like the mom called him Boner too. He's like, I'm sorry, Boner. She's like, don't call me Boner.
Yeah, I just don't know how that was a good idea.
I think that movie is called... Is it This Is Where You Leave Me? It's Adam Driver, Tina Fey is in it, and Jason Bateman's in it. They're like all brother and sisters, and Ben Schwartz is in it, and then their mom, I forget, she's such a famous person. I can't remember her name. It's killing me, but it's really good. You should watch it sometime.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine today. I said, I'm going to send you a picture of one of my kids. I hope you brought a change of clothes because your eyes are going to piss tears.
You nasty.
Yeah. Thank you. That's good. We did it. That is what my house is like. Oh my God. We are a walking meme in my house. It's everything is a bit and lines from a show. And today, Henry gets up from his chair and goes and recreates beat for beat Troy Barnes from Community, played by Donald Glover, when he met LeVar Burton and froze and couldn't speak to him and was like singing the Reading Rainbow theme in the bathroom, leaning against the wall and crying as he finished it. Henry did the whole bit and he knew he was hilarious. And I'm trying to shut it down and pretend like I'm not amused, even though I'm secretly like, hee hee. Anyhow.
The monsters you've created.
Oh, dude, you're not wrong about that. So, yeah, man. The Acolyte. That's cool news. And the way them describing the show like that,
yeah,
after what they've done with Andor has me even more excited, because I am here to tell you that Andor, I mean, it's not good Star Wars TV. It is good TV.
Yeah.
Everything about it. the acting, the writing, the visuals, the storytelling, the story itself, it's all excellent.
Yeah.
I have literally zero complaints.
Yeah, I agree. You know what's great with this news about the Acolyte is that it came from the fucking source.
Yeah.
And it had pictures of it being in production. And it came with the cast photo list. Mm-hmm. And like it was all legit. It was like, thank you, baby Jesus. Finally, something that's actually tangible.
You know what's funny though? And because of how Lucasfilm has done that sort of thing, the first thing I assumed is somebody was getting ready to leak it. So they went ahead and got in front of it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Not that they wanted to do it. Not that they're like, you know what we should do? We should advertise this show we're going to make. And I hate being that cynical about it, but there's definitely
an element of it. How else can you be now? How else can you be? Like, this seems a little bit more in line because they did mention, I forget her name, but the first actress they really start talking about, she's a big Star Wars fan.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but anyways, but she was introduced like 2 or 3 months ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And she went like made videos about how thrilled she was because how much she loves Star Wars, and she's like wearing all these Darth Maul shirts and shit. You know, it was pretty cool. I am the worst person with names. So there's that. And then I feel like they were ramping up to give us something because those photos were just like kind of a little too professional looking, you know what I mean? Like to not be on purpose or be like a leaked photo or something. Mm-hmm. So you're right. There may be a very well good chance that the casting list had been like obtained and it's going to get released. And they're like, oh, okay, fine. Fuck it.
Right.
Let's do the whole thing now. Because, I mean, you should be hyping the shit out of it.
Yeah.
It's in production. Tight. That's all we really wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got some photos? Even better. Oh, it's not coming from trustus.com? Sweet.
It's not coming from comicbook.com? Not that they've been terrible, but, you know, there's been plenty of others who have.
Hence why I said trustus.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's my favorite response I see on Twitter anymore is when somebody claims something and they go, source, trust me, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Most journalists don't use the word bro.
No.
A lot in writing.
No. I'm saying the person didn't say it. The response was they were like they did source and they put a colon and they put, trust me, bro.
Well, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean is that...
Yeah.
You're probably not going to see that in like THR or anything. But so anyway, let's talk about this episode of Andor.
Okay.
Dang, followed immediately by dang and then dang.
Three dangs, definitely worth it.
I realize that by the time you're hearing this, you've already seen the next episode of Andor. I get it. But criminy. What they've done with this and like the arc of Andy Serkis's character, Kino, and
By the way, great fucking name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kino? Oh, yeah.
And how they handled the story with Olaf and all of that going down. Man, the tension and the drama and just all of this stuff. It's got me on the edge of my seat. I've never been so thoroughly immersed in enjoying something yet been so anxious about what's going on. They make you just as anxious and curious as the prisoners.
Yeah.
They do a fantastic job of it. And in the scene where Cassian and the other guy are just talking as they're basically out loud planning how you could possibly escape this.
They're not listening to us.
Overwhelm the guards. Yes. Yeah, that whole thing about they're not listening. They don't care enough about you to even be worried that you could do this. And then they start hearing all these rumors and about something that happened and you can't get any satisfaction from it. It's just, jeez. And, you know, Andy Serkis, or Kino Loy, I think is his last name.
My grandfather loved to play Kino in Vegas. It was his favorite.
He's just wanting to finish his sentence.
Yeah.
He's just wanting to get out because he sees the end in sight. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of time has been eaten up in this. So in universe, that it's been at least 30 days that he's been in there, and you see how quickly he, you know, settles into the routine of things. That's how you cope. And dude, I don't know. It just, golly, Bob Howdy, it's so good. And with the side stories of how they bring in what's her face, Bix, mm-hmm. to interrogate her, and are going to hang the guy who owns the shop. They've got this torture system, dude, that they came up with. Dude, that's horrific.
Dude, that's the most diabolical shit I've ever heard of. I've seen so many torture scenes in movies and shit, and even just like straight up, just like, we murdered your family, or we're going to murder your family, and shit like this. But the thought that they were like, hey, there's these particular noise that these species of people make when they die that is so traumatizing, we don't need to hurt you anymore. And particularly the children of this mm-hmm. species, when they die, that's the sound I've heard is unbearable. And most people don't last but more than a few seconds. I'm like, oh my God. Here's the thing. They had just got done kind of making the ISB, I don't want to say relatable, but like, you're like, oh, these are people going about their jobs. You know what I mean? Like, right. to a certain extent, they were doing evil shit. But like this episode, they were like, that woman, like because you kind of rooted for this, the woman ISB agent in a way. Like I did anyways. You know, like you like get ahead of the other dickheads in her area and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Same. And Deidre or Deidre Miro. Yeah.
But like when she described what the doctor was going to do, the doctor described in detail with a smile what he was going to be doing. That was so evil. And then her being extremely indifferent that they were going to hang the first guy. If you have to, I don't really care.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the evil empire that mm-hmm. that sometimes they feel like they're trying to make it like morally ambiguous, right? Star Wars and the each side sometimes,
right?
Especially amongst the common components, like the people who like the, not the big heroes of it, but like the people actually getting the work done in the trenches.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to make it like, you know, the rebels are extremely ready to kill people, you know, to make their thing happen. The empire will wipe out entire planets to take all their resources or entire people or whatever, enslave people, whatever, do improper sentencing. But this was just this might be the most evil shit I've ever seen in Star Wars.
Oh yeah, it's just every means is worth the end, and it's horrific. It's taking joy in destroying the people that they're destroying. It's not just a matter of they're doing it because it's serving their purpose and they need these people out of the way. They're getting off on it.
Oh yeah. And they can control people this way.
And then you add the whole story of Cyril and his name's been cleared and he's somehow gotten a promotion and his mom is congratulating him. And he says, you've looked inside my private box is what he refers to it as.
Mm.
And that guy seems just two steps away from
just offing her
a murder suicide.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what's going to happen with that?
I don't know, but I'm telling you what, and I tweeted about, I guess, I think I tweeted about this week at all, was my prediction that Cyril's is going to get melted down in some way or another has never been stronger. Like,
yeah, I don't see him. Yeah. Because it turns out, and now I've had talked to a couple of people who disagreed with my take that he's got a boner for Deidre. or Deidre, however you pronounce her name.
They disagree that that was how he feels?
Yeah. I he's drawn to her because of her power, but also in a sexual way. He uses the word beautiful, and she freaks out. And
he said, just by looking at you, I know life's worth living.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck else could he mean?
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the language, but what else could he mean?
Oh, yeah, we never curse on this show. But yeah, you're right. And you see the panic. Here's this woman who's incredibly powerful and has a lot of power at her disposal, and she's scared because she's upset that she didn't notice that this guy is eyeballing her.
That was for a lot of women.
But for him to come up and like actually touch her and...
They're familiars.
Yeah. And one of my friends, she like so many women, it's unfortunate how common it is, had somebody borderline stalking her. Yeah. And she's like, that was so real and so scary. I hated it.
Yeah. There's a couple of things in there. I can see people just thinking about the idea that about the torture scene. I mean, torturing in general, but too torturing with the dying sounds of alien children. And then this, like that scene there, I bet there's so many women that just felt that scene with Cyril's. Just felt like to their core and to like almost like, you know, almost to a level like, is it worth it? You know what I mean? Because like I thought it was a powerful scene, but I'm also not a woman and never been stalked, so I couldn't tell you how that movie would feel. But like it was so creepy. It was so creepy. He's such a total weirdo. And like it's gonna be a problem really fast.
Yeah. And I wonder if how weird he is could somehow show promise and it ends up like she's the one that's in the way of his success in the eyes of the higher ups versus the other way around.
Yeah.
But I mean, dude, he just seems like such a psycho.
Like they've already shown like some banging in this season. What if they bang? Would that be messed up?
I hope that doesn't happen.
I mean, for a lot of reasons, like it would really send the wrong message.
Yeah.
But like, I just wonder because I'm not thinking on a level of like all women, like how that's not the way you would go about things. I'm talking about these two individuals who are so wrapped up in themselves and their ascension. And we got to do this for the empire, you know, ness. Like, I don't know. It'd be messed up, but like.
It'd be super messed up.
Messed up people do messed up things.
I mean, that is true. That's 100% true.
Yeah.
I just don't know where they're going to go with it and what she's going to do to him now. And, yeah.
I mean, but what I kept trying to figure out, because like the actress who's playing her is Deidre is doing a really good job. So like, but she's very like, she's doing a really good job with the restrained emotion, but showing bits of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the breaking of the facade. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like we're like, she, like you can't, like it's hard to tell if she's impressed or really switched off by what he did.
I think she's really switched off. I think she probably thinks killing him would be pretty great.
Well, I mean, but she let him leave. Like if she was so put off, she's like, I need this man murdered. He needs to be
right.
for her harassing an officer and touching me and just in general, he needs to die. And he would die.
Well, you know what I mean? I wonder if she thinks that he could still serve some purpose in her chase for this rebel cell.
Yeah.
But when you see the links that people are just pawns and tools to them, they're camping out watching Cassian's mom. They're just waiting. They're biding their time and they are the rights and needs of people in general are meaningless. because of their focus and purpose. And that is dirty and gross and evil.
And I think it's good that they're doing this because, like I said, sometimes it's good to show that there's people on other sides who change their mind or who realize they're being a part of something they won't be a part of. I think that's good. But like, it needs to be shown how evil this thing is. I don't want to say that it validates what the rebellion does, but it kind of does. They realize they have to get really shady to beat the evilness that is
right.
The Empire, because the Empire just controls so much and has full control. I don't know. It's crazy how they're showing the underlining factors would be in all of this. You know, like how people are getting this imperial equipment from place to place. How do we climb up this ladder of treachery and rebellion against the Empire? You know, and it's such a you're right though. Like the suspense of it all is so crazy, and that torture scene ramped up with wasn't that going on the same time that the old guy was dying, or is that before? Like I couldn't tell. I can't remember if they were flashing between those two scenes or not. Because or those were his two suspenseful moments. But that happens a lot in shows where they have two extremely suspenseful moments at the same time to like really just like smack you in the face with it. And that old man dying and all the stuff that the doctor was telling him about how they killed everybody on that one level,
mm-hmm.
because they made an error in sending one of the guys who was supposed to get out. He was never going to get out, and they sent him back to somewhere else, and they're like, hey, you were already here, what the fuck? And then they all realized it, and they're like, well, you're all gonna die. And of course that spread, and here we are.
For them to, and that's the thing, to see the turn in Kino where that the how many guards are there at any given time, and he's like, stop thinking about it. Yeah, and then he answers because he realizes, I'm never getting out of here. Ever.
Unless I do something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm ready to see Kino like unleash. I think it's gonna be cool. And I feel bad for that old timer though, because they were like,
yeah,
look, he had a stroke and this is gonna be better than what we're all gonna get.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you know, to see that the doctor is able to euthanize him.
Yes.
Rather than just let him sit there and agonizingly die over a period of however long. And
I mean, it could be days.
Just know how matter of fact it was. That was tough to watch.
Yeah.
In a sense. But yeah. And how hard they tried. He just wanted to get him through it. Let's get him cover for him by holding him up against the table the way they did. And let's get him back to his cell and get him laid down and he'll be all right. That was so harsh. That was so, so tough. And I wonder who all is going to be involved in the break. Because obviously you've got Melshi. He's in Rogue One. He's going to get out. And with Kino, the whole speculation. Now, somebody left a voicemail for Blue Harvest this past week that said, or maybe it was the week before, not that they think that Kino Loy is Snoke, because that's been the thing. Well, Andy Serkis apparently is a Snoke and talking about, which Pablo Hidalgo had some things to say about that too, which opened up an old wound. But it was that, do you think that however this ends up, that Palpatine eyeballed this guy as the basis for Snoke? Which I hope that's not a thing, but it's a very interesting question, because Snoke was some form of manufactured being in this thing.
He is imprisoned. I swear to God, they show him getting like blown in half or something and carted away, just so they could put like extension legs on him or something. I'll be like, I hope they don't do that. Because there's been several, like Mark Hamill has played a bunch of different people in Star Wars. Different characters, voice different characters. I mean, Anthony Daniels has played multiple characters, you know, Ahmed Best has.
Yeah. But also the difference in that, though, is that they're completely different. And I mean, you know, Snoke, yes, he's completely different, but he's also got elements of Andy Serkis's face. And but what Pablo Hidalgo tweeted about was your Kino Loy theory sucks. And that opened up the whole conversation about our friend Steele stickers that dominated the news cycle for a while. And there instantly are people commenting about how that was mean and rude, and
they're just waiting.
Yeah.
Just waiting in line to get mad about that sticker again.
Yeah. And Pablo talked about how they were convinced that he had them printed, even though the name of the podcast was prominently displayed on the thing. I still have so many of those. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Yeah. For some reason, I feel guilty like discarding them, but I seriously don't have enough surfaces that I would put a sticker on to put all these stickers on.
Yeah. I have the Force sticker on my laptop. The rest of them are Bad Motivator stickers. So
I don't have any stickers on my MacBook. Can't have that.
Yeah, well, it's technically a work laptop.
But the other revelation is in the storyline where you have Vel. Turns out she is Mon Mothma's cousin, or at bare minimum, saying that they're cousins.
That was a revelation for sure. I was like, oh.
And, God, what is Mon Mothma's kid's name?
I guess that'll probably end up bringing Cassie into Mon Mothma.
I can't remember what Mon Mothma's kid's name is, but she refers to her as Aunt Vel.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's common. Like my cousin Sarah, my daughter would refer to her as Aunt Sarah because she's, you know, that just makes sense. But yeah, that whole thing where she really is a rich, spoiled socialite. That's her identity, her public identity. And it's like, you need to lean into that and you need to lay low for a while. And what does he have you doing? And
she's like, yeah.
Luthen, yeah.
No. That's what she said to her.
And dude, it's just so wild to see how that's going down. And now she can't get the transactions she's been doing covered up. And so they're bringing in some gangster from Chandrilla that I wonder what he's going to be like.
Yeah.
And then you finally had Mon Mothma's daughter refer to what is the guy's name? Her mom's friend from Chandrilla, who's trying to help her, as mom's old boyfriend. In that tone that, you know, she's banging him, dad. You need to have your eyes open on that.
Were they a couple at one point?
She said, we were in grade school together.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, Mon Mothma was married when she was 15.
Yeah.
And that's apparently commonplace, because one of the things is that Perrin, that guy.
Who's worse, him or Cyril's? Who's worse?
Perrin's worse. Cyril is scary, but Perrin's just the worst kind of, But he says to Vel that she's basically an old maid. You're past your prime of ever finding a man, because in their culture, they get married when they're teenagers, and now she's much too old. And of course, she makes that remark that all the good ones are taken. Wink, wink. Well, that you're really a piece of crap, and I'd rather die single any day than have to be married to a putz like you who thinks he's the last samurai.
Yeah.
God,
he totally has has that look from that movie of Tom Cruise.
But you know what? He would be just like Jeremy Jam, that he would get them all mixed up. wow, you sure are a fan of the samurai look. Yeah, I love Chinese crap. Yeah, that's Japanese, Jeremy. Just that would be his thing.
He's got jammed.
Oh my gosh. Who's the golfer he's got the pictures of? What's her name?
Oh, you asked too many questions. I don't know the answers.
Come on, Eric. You know her name. Help me out.
I've sadly not seen Parks and Rec since it went off Netflix.
Ugh, you are missing out, man. Because
I've only watched all of them 20 times.
It is amazing.
We've been going back to a lot of Seinfeld, though, so that's not bad.
Seinfeld's great, man. Yeah. Right now, we're on another watch through of Community, which I'm really glad about. I love that show.
Did you see people recently with the hot take that Jerry Seinfeld's acting in Seinfeld is bad?
Wow, that's recent.
Yeah.
I think Jerry Seinfeld would tell you Jerry Seinfeld's acting in that show was bad.
I think that's kind of the point. He's just doing his act, and these actors he has are people he has in his acts. That's what it is.
I'm dumbfounded by that. Oh my gosh, are you sure?
And they're like George is the most interesting character by far, and all this and that. And it's like, why are we having hot takes about Seinfeld 30 years later? Like, already been established what it is, what it means to what it meant to sitcoms, what it meant to a lot of people, and like now we have this take. It's like, okay.
Dude, that's just good Lord.
Anyways, it was just funny to me. I can't believe Michael Richards. I just found out he said racist things 20 years ago. Oh, really?
What? Oh my gosh. Do you remember how the next day Jerry appeared on a show with him to explain that, you know, that's not who he really is, and trying to do damage control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good. No. Michelle Wee was the golfer, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And he's like this one of, oh, he goes, it's not sexual. I'm just a fan of her game. Oh, then yeah. What's this picture of her in a bikini? Yeah, I photoshopped that one myself. Yeah.
You just got jammed.
Yeah. Anyway. Self-jam.
Self-jam. Jam out.
God, that guy. Oh, so anyway, I'm totally sidetracked now. With Vel, I really like that character. Like that she is like all made up and fancy and good looking, but then also commando style out in the woods for months.
Major Jen Erso vibes from her, though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I wonder
With more purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see, you know, Jen Erso. I'm trying to remember in her timeline and her story of when she was with Saw in canon. And then he left her behind.
When she was like 16 or something?
Yeah. In the book, whatever book that was, yeah, you know, he left her basically like in a foxhole.
Yeah, well, the girl in the movie looked about 8, if I had to guess. About 7 or 8.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so she was with him for several years, and he taught her how to fight and all that. And then he left her behind at a battle saying, I'll come back for you, and then never did.
Yeah.
And I wondered if we would see her in this show anywhere.
It'd be interesting. But it'd have to be almost like a Mando thing where like you kind of go outside the main story for a minute. You know?
Either that or you just see her standing in the background.
Yeah.
They never even mention it's her.
Yeah.
So let me ask you the last thing. I don't know what else to say about this episode besides good Lord. So Bix,
yeah,
she seems like she's broken. Like there's no coming back from this mentally, but I'm pretty sure the actress was quoted as saying that she's going to be back in season two.
I feel like I heard that too.
And so maybe there's still some hope for that they can recover from this. But I think that that would damage you at bare minimum.
She's definitely going to be different. Mm-hmm. If anything, it might make her a more vicious soldier. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like she'd have an axe to grind. I think she would take personal satisfaction in killing Deidre and that doctor.
Yeah, that guy is the worst. I hope that they show his death on screen in a most painful way.
Yeah. I mean, we already got to see that one dude die, and that was nice. But now we need some, I need to see some serial death. And what's his name? What's Mon Mothma's husband's name?
Perrin.
Perrin. I almost said Paver.
Paver.
Perrin. I think I only really need to see Perrin to have a bad death if I see that he's like been betraying Mon Mothma behind her back. Because I feel like if he finds out about something about her that she's doing and he goes out of his way to protect her, then I think he could be redeemed. You know what I mean? For being a complete douche.
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah. God, that guy.
If he actually acts like he has a soul and takes care of his wife. Yeah.
I hope. So instead of Perrin, we should start calling him Perinium.
Perinium.
You know, a taint. That's his name from now on.
I knew it sounded pelvic region.
That guy adjacent. Is just the worst. Anyway, this is the last thing we'll talk about on this episode. What do you think is in Cyril's private box?
I would say quite a few different locks of hair from other people, probably mostly women. But some men in there too, because he likes to experiment. But definitely, whatever his equivalent of like a binky or a baby's first animal. It's like I think it's kind of like worn down to nub, you know, because he's been cradling it since he was a baby. I would say a couple bus passports and some concert tickets, if I had to guess. About like that.
Wow. Yeah. I was leaning more toward like pictures or something of Deidre or Deidre. How do they pronounce that?
Well, I know somebody named Deidre.
Yes.
Spelled that same way.
So I do like that there are some like just normal, straight up normal names.
Yeah.
In here, but yeah, maybe pictures or just some documentation of what he's been up to, but maybe also
some old coins,
but also like the would you shut up? The crazy picture with the strings connecting everything and, or his equivalent of a manifesto in there. And yeah, I don't know. That's very interesting.
Maybe a space condom. It's like, well, all dried. It's all dried out. Never been used. Sorry.
You should be sorry. he's probably got
Twi'lek
that
porn.
He's probably got that hollow. Listen, I get that.
I mean,
but he's probably got that hollow thing of Andor in there too.
Oh yeah.
And his mom's gonna think it's his boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, she probably would think that because it'd probably be sticky.
Good Lord. That's not the slant I'm going with here. Find out there's a whole bunch of like injectable spice in there. Yeah. He's got some opiate problem.
I can't remember. Is Star Wars the one where people were putting stuff in their eyes to get high? Or is that a different? I can't remember. But I feel like that's one way the people in Star Wars, at least in the books, have taken drugs is by like putting it in their eyes.
Huh. I guess that's kind of like the equivalent of bums that are on the streets and you know, super wrecked on like long term alcoholism. Shooting like Everclear up their butts.
Butt chugging Everclear, I bet that would be feel great. Did I ever tell you about when I got a bottle of Everclear. I was like 19 somehow, and we got it, and we went to my cousin's graduation party, and her stepfather, he's not alive anymore, but he was a major drunk, and all of us had like a little sip of Everclear. We're like, oh, fuck this. We're like 19. Like, I can't do this. He kept coming down taking swigs of it, putting it back down. I go, that's kind of strong. Go back up. No chaser. Just come back up. He drank probably 3/4 of that fifth by himself.
How do you live through that? Horrific beverage.
It needs to be used to clean things. What needs to be used for? That's about it.
Its only legal use is taking varnish off of speedboats. It's good old fashioned prairie drink off.
I'll never forget how he picked that thing up.
Up on his arm. How come you have a room full of guns? This is America, isn't it? I don't have to answer stupid questions in my own house.
I got shot in the face. I think I'm just going to stay mad.
This tastes like watered down baby formula. Anyhow, guys, listen, I think this is, we're off the rails now. So here's what's going to happen. You are going to go check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. And also, you know what? I haven't mentioned this while. Leave us a good, I cannot stress this enough. Leave us a good review. Mm-hmm. If you could, on whatever podcast platform that you use.
Yeah.
And that would be so much appreciated.
Yeah. All you got to say is these guys rock. 5 stars.
Yeah. 5 stars. Five bang.
Five stars. These guys fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I guess if you want, check out our merch on Tee Public and Redbubble. There's a lot of cool stuff out there. And follow the show on Twitter @bad_motivators. And I don't think there's really anything else. Oh, check out Cruiser's live streaming. He does way more than me, and it's been very good.
Oh, thank you.
Very, very good stuff. And yeah, there's really nothing left to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift's concert tickets go on sale next week in the pre-sale. And until next time, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The Bad Motivators.